We have two more board members that are, one more board member that is here imminently, but why don't we go ahead and start with the ceremonial parts, and I'll call on Andrea to call the roll.
So, Director Worthen?
Here.
Director Hazen? Director Matthews? Vice President Rogers?
Here.
And President Zindel?
Here. And do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
Do I hear a second?
I'm sorry, second.
All in favor, say aye.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay. If the purpose of this meeting is to have a public forum to talk about the upcoming election, and then to just be clear about if the election passes or that Measure BB passes, what the appointment process is going to be for two new directors, and then subsequent to that, the zoning mapping process. So before we start that, is there any public comment about any other topic, not on this agenda, and hopefully not on the agenda of the next two meetings? Do I hear any public comment? Okay, hearing no public comment, I'm gonna ask our interim CEO, Chris Christensen, to make a brief presentation before we open up the public forum.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming out to the public forum regarding the Measure BB expansion initiative that will be on the November 6th ballot. And just wanted to give just a little brief history of the Measure BB process that the originated with Assembly Bill 2414, that Assembly Member Eduardo Garcia was able to get initiated into law. And since then, there's been a significant amount of work surrounding the efforts of the district and other parties that have been involved with trying to get this measure on the ballot for November, and we're very close. So along the way, we've committed to trying to develop the $4 million to match what we currently do in the West. And a commitment was made to commit $300,000 a year towards the effort in the East Valley should the expansion occur. So the Measure BB language, I won't read all the way through it, but essentially if the measure passes, the current boundaries that it currently limits to the east side on Cook Street will expand to include the entire Coachella Valley, all the way out to the Salton Sea, Thermal, Mecca, other unincorporated parts of the Coachella Valley. Also, should Measure BB pass, would also require adding two additional board members. So we currently have a 5-member board. There would be two additional board members added at that point. In the packet, there's a process that's been established that we will follow to appoint two additional board members. Additionally to that, as most of you know, the district has gone through a reorganization or a rezoning of the current district with regards to the board members and the zones that they would be elected from. So we would take on that process as well to develop the 7 zones that would be required in the expanded district. And it's just information regarding several of the grantees that the district has done work with, that currently does work with members of or residents of the entire Coachella Valley. So it's something that we would be able to do as a district to help continue to support with additional funds and efforts to meet the needs of the East Valley. And then just a final picture of what that expanded district would look like. The current in the bold is the current district. The remaining is the expanded area, should that pass. So in your packet, there's a fact sheet about the district, the information on the adding the two board members, as well as the rezoning process that would take place.
Thank you. I'm now going to open it up to public comment on these topics. As usual, we'll give 3 minutes per person, and I am going to keep time. And if anybody would like to come, I suggest you come up to the middle aisle here, and Alejandro will hand you a microphone.
Hi, I'm Karen Borja with Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest. My question and questions we've been getting asked is what the relationship with JFK, the hospital in Indio, would be after the expansion is approved by voters.
I guess I can answer that because there's no particular relationship. It would be the same relationship the district has with Eisenhower. It's another hospital that is in the district.
I have a comment.
Let's just take this off.
So in the current lease agreement, it pretty much specifies the relationship between the board and the district. I mean, there's some provisions in there that address our relationship with that organization because it's managed by the same entity that it's owned by the same entity that manages our hospital. So that might be a document you could be referred to.
Mr. Scott, do you want to clarify, since you refer to the lease and also the amendment?
What Director Wortham is referring to is there's a provision in there that says that a tenant can't discriminate and provide services to, they can't discriminate with respect to the residents in the district. And provide services at JFK that and take services away from Desert. So it was a kind of an anti-discrimination provision that was placed in the lease, and thus far has been honored, and that would continue.
If I can add, the current lease it says that the district cannot contract with any other hospitals besides Desert Regional Medical Center in the current district. And there was some concern when the discussion to expand the district was made, but an agreement was made with Tenet and with the district that the exclusion, non-compete clause, I guess you'd call it, does not apply to the expanded district at all. Does that answer your question?
To the expanded portion.
Expanded yes. portion
of the district.
District.
It still applies to
still the applies district. The existing district.
Until the end of the lease in 2027. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Do we have, on page six, I think it would be worthwhile going over the timeline for what happens after the election if Measure BB passes. Do we have that available to put up?
Familiar with
our website is dhcd.org, and you can obtain all of the board documents and
committee documents as well.
Top one.
And we said page six.
Yeah, Chris, do you want to walk us through that, please?
Sure. So
So essentially what happened, we get to the November 6th date, the expansion in theory of the vote passes, then election results would essentially be tallied, we know where we're at, and so by December 7th, the current board would be seated from the current election. So there's two seats that are open for this current election, and zones 2 and 4. Zone two is currently filled by our incumbent Director Rogers in the Desert Hot Springs area, and then we have zone 4, which we have two candidates. Shelby Kaplan is one, and I apologize, I don't recall it, your name.
Yvette.
Thank you. Would you please stand so that people can see you, if you would? Thank you. So after that, then there would be a process then that we would do an act, that would be an application process. We'd do advertising to put the information out there so that anybody that's interested in applying for those new seats, the 6th and 7th board member, and they would be coming from the expanded district area. So there would be the interviewing process, and then ultimately appointed by the current, the 5-member board that would be in place as of the end of this election. Any questions regarding that?
So just to clarify then, the January meeting would be when the two additional board members from east of Cook would be selected if Measure BB passes.
Correct.
And again, just to clarify, one person will be chosen for a 2-year term and one for a 4-year term.
Correct. And they will fall in into the cycle of the 2-year term would be the 2020 election. The other one appointed would be for the 2022 election. And then by then, we would have all of the zones put in place as well. So that leads into the next item, which is the rezoning. So again, if the expansion vote occurs, we would go through a process of, there would be, so after the new directors are appointed, then we would start a process of having a resolution that would be done, say at our February meeting, that would then ask the district staff to start the process again, like we did with the prior 5 zones, and we would start in a process of, with the demographics folks. And the intent would be to do probably 3 public forums in the springtime, and then knowing that the summer months, you know, people are out of town, vacation, etc. We would then be narrowing down the maps and bringing those back for 2, if not 3, more public forums with the idea of selecting the final maps by October 2019.
And they would apply to the November 2020 election, where 4 of the 7 board members would be elected in the new zones. We would still have 2 from the current district and 1 who was doing a 4-year term for the addendum or expansion area.
Right.
Any questions on the timeline?
I had a question about the process for anybody interested in applying to sit on the board in the East County.
Okay, so the process would be that we'd have a public notice that would need to be published in different places. This would be done by, well, the whole process will be done by June 15th, but we will post a minimum, I'm sorry, January 15th, thank you. So the public notice has to be posted for a minimum of 15 days. And then from that, there will be applications that will come into the district office, will be reviewed by the current board, and selections will be made for individuals for interviews and such. And then ultimately, the final candidates will be appointed by the five board members that are seated at that point. And again, by January 15th, we would have the full board seat.
But it would be at the January 15th meeting that the interviews would occur with the candidates and the selection occur that same day.
Correct. The selection would occur that day, and which is a special meeting, and the full board would be seated effective then for the standard January board.
And it's a public meeting.
Correct.
So the whole discussion would be, each candidate would be public.
And the voting process would be transparent also.
I have a question. Election. Is it required by statute to
yes.
the law to do it on that day?
No.
Okay. That's so if different. We had 70 applicants, or the last time we did this, I think we had 14. We stretched over 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah.
But it's not required by statute.
I think there's flexibility to the time.
Yeah.
This is...
Okay. So I don't think you can say that that appointment would happen that day necessarily.
Yeah, we're aiming for the January board meeting.
Yes.
We might end up having to have some special meetings depending on the number of applicants and things like that. But can you give a rough idea when people would need to have their application in by? Do we know that yet?
The adopted resolution would need to be done at our December 18th. Board meeting,
mm-hmm.
and publication of the notice would be, during the latter part of December or early January, and then all of the resumes, applications, etc., if you will, would come in, be reviewed, analyzed by the board, and set up.
We'd like to on a tentative schedule. We'd like to have all the applications in about a week before, so that way we can get them out to the board so the board can review them prior to the public meeting on the 15th, that meeting then, to decide.
And is it true that each applicant would have to fill out the appropriate forms in terms of conflict of interest and
yes.
things that a regular candidate would have to fill out?
Yes.
At that point or once appointed?
No, right then.
Before they're appointed. They can't be appointed until they've been made to find out that they're qualified.
Yes.
I mean, eligible. Well,
that's
eligible.
Part of the notice would have that information.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments about the process? Okay. Does the board, anybody on the board have any comments about the process? Or? Okay. The next item is a resolution. It's on page 10 of your packet.
Actually, can I go back? I'm sorry. I had a quick thought.
Sure.
Okay.
Here.
In terms of the process of going through nominations, do you think it might be prudent to have some type of a scoring mechanism or something that so all candidates are equally reviewed in terms of?
We can talk about that. That it's been my experience that doesn't work out so well, but that can get a little weird as far as if you give points to certain candidates, there are opportunities to manipulate the process. So traditionally what we do is the applicants, basically you have the resumes, we have a meeting like this, and then they come in and they're interviewed one by one. Now it's a public meeting and they can certainly stay and see their other people that are colleagues that are applying, but we ask them as a matter of courtesy, there'll be another place that kind of wait, they come in individually, and so there's kind of, it's a fair, the questions, they're not already, they don't know what the questions are necessarily, and so they're interviewed by the board, And then at the conclusion of that, we open it up to the board to make nominations. And you're free to make, you know, I'd like to nominate, you know, so-and-so, and you just go along like that. And then basically after all nominations have been made, we basically pass out ballots. And then the ballots have your name on them, and you write down what candidate, for example, you'd like to support. And then those ballots are all collected, and Chris or I can read off then that Director Matthews votes for so-and-so, and just down the line. And
Vote for two?
You could do it. I think you want to take one at a time, because you got to get a majority to at least vote for one. So then you do that, and as you go through the process, then at the conclusion, there's a resolution to appoint that person as a director. And, you know, we could talk about, you know, technically whether we have one resolution or two resolutions or these kinds of things. But
and then we have to draw lots to see who has the 2-year.
And then we can flip a coin, draw lots. However, that'll be the fun part of the meeting. We'll make that the figure out a way to make it so it's a random. It's got to be a fair flip, and who gets the 2-year and who gets the 4-year term. But it's an open process. Everybody knows who votes for who they vote for, and that works pretty well.
So you mentioned about questions, and so are all the candidates asked exactly the same questions?
No, not necessarily. There can be a number of questions. Certainly, we want appropriate questions. We don't want inappropriate questions. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the same questions. And but to give everybody a fair chance, I think it's better that the applicants are not, you know, it's kind of unfair if you already know what, if you've observed it. So it works for the most part. Everybody's pretty cooperative, and they allow their, you know, it's like a job interview type of situation, and they allow the other applicants to have their opportunity.
Is public comment allowed during that process?
Traditionally, no. This is a board. This is up to the board.
Okay. Great.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to consider to approve the resolution of support for Measure BB.
Is there a second?
You could second, or I could second.
Would you like to second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. There's a second. First of all, is there any public comment? Hearing no public comment, is there any board comment?
Yeah, I'd really love to have Director Hazen voting. And so I would move to table the resolution until the full board meeting at 6 o'clock.
We should be here at 6?
I don't know. She's not here. That's a different problem. Mm-hmm.
Do we expect
her? She's expected.
Yeah, you can add it to the agenda.
Can we do that?
Yes, you can continue it.
Okay, there's a motion to table. All in favor of tabling it to the next...
I'll second the motion to table.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we'll table it and add it to the agenda of the next meeting. Okay. We're going to adjourn now for 4 minutes until we begin the main meeting at 6 p.m.